And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer here with you on this Monday morning. We got a whole lot going on today in the world of sports. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
Awesome. If a weekend in which you ingest 600 calories, which I think is a great way to lose weight,
yeah,
is awesome, then I've had an amazing weekend. So I just like to tell everybody out there, if you buy berries, make sure you don't eat old berries.
Yeah, that would be good. That's a tough one for you.
I like berries a lot, you know? I like berries. But there were some berries that were purchased before I got back home last week, and I didn't realize it. And they were, like, in there. It's a bad, yeah.
It's a bad deal.
So, hey, man, I'm losing weight, bro. That's the good news.
That is the good news. Nick Keezer, good morning. Happy Monday. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, guys, I guess we're looking forward to a total eclipse event later this afternoon. So
don't look directly into the sun.
I will not. Robbie has advised me several times, Joe, to not look. What do you say?
Well, just don't look in the sun. I mean, you can look at the eclipse. Well, just make sure you have the proper equipment on, you know?
You want to know if I had a different take on it?
I mean, he said it like I would do it for sure earlier when he walked in this
morning.
I'm just
looking out for you, man. I don't want you to be like, oh, my goodness, I can't see anymore because I've looked directly at this thing. Just looking out.
I would not have expected you to be tempted, but now that we're talking about this, please don't.
Yeah, no, exactly. I just was under the assumption from Robbie Stanley that I'd be looking at the sun later this afternoon at 2 o'clock.
I'm just trying to look out. I'm like,
thank you.
I'm a new dad. You try to guide young ones. That's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to guide you a little.
Preventive measures are good. They're never bad. Someone would have said, hey. Are you sure those blueberries are the ones that you bought? No. Oh, maybe look at them a little closer, right?
What berries just did all this work to you over the weekend, Joe?
Well, it's my assumption, but it's blueberries.
Yeah.
And that's all I've been able to taste the last couple days. But there were some, like I said, some old blueberries that were in the fridge that I didn't realize were old.
There you go.
So then I threw them in a thing of yogurt with granola, which is one of my favorite snacks.
And now you're on a weight loss program.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So there you go. Thanks for asking, Nick. Thanks for clarifying the berries.
Yes. Glenn and Nick doing some investigative work here. We got a whole lot to get to on the program here today. We'll be joined by Sean Rourke from NHL.com at 7:30. The Predators magic number down to 1. And they were just about in the playoffs last night with the Blues and the Ducks going to a shootout. So it was close, but the magic number down to 1 for the Nashville Predators. We'll get into that with Sean, get into some possible matchups with him as well. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic will join us at 8:30. So a lot to get to on that front. And, Joe, between the Predators, their weekend, John Calipari is apparently leaving Kentucky and going to Arkansas. The women's national championship game was yesterday. The men's game is tonight, and Lady Vols have hired a head coach. We got a whole lot to get into on the program today. This is one of those days where we could probably do about a 7-hour show.
We could. I'm cool with 3, though. Let's do it in 3.
Let's see if we can do it in 3. We begin on the Nashville Predators. So a split bag for the Preds this weekend. They go on the road to the Islanders, and they had – I mean, they played – pretty well against the Islanders. They got shut out in the game. They had over 90 shot attempts and just could not for the life of them get a puck by Semyon Varlamov on Saturday. So a disappointing result. The process, for the most part, was pretty good for the Predators on Saturday. And then yesterday, Joe, they're trailing 2-1 in the third period. And I again thought they were playing reasonably well. But if you get to the end of that one yesterday and you lose again, nobody really cares about if you're playing reasonably well this time of year. It's about winning and losing. And the Predators get a gigantic goal on the power play from Luke Evangelista to tie it at two. Goes to a really back-and-forth 3-on-3 overtime that I thought was really entertaining. And then in the shootout, the Predators get there for just the third time this year, and they win it again. Ryan O'Reilly with a goal in the shootout. UC Saros makes three saves, and the Predators get a big win last night. So the Predators, with their magic number with 3 points heading into the game, they bring it down to 1. St. Louis and Anaheim go into overtime last night. So St. Louis was up 4-2 and then up 5-3, and the Ducks came back and tied it. Ducks had a couple of great looks in overtime, and they get to the shootout. They're able to St. Louis able to outlast them in the shootout. So the Preds have not clinched a playoff berth yet, but a big win last night, Joe, in New Jersey to put them right on the cusp where – if they get into overtime on Tuesday against Winnipeg, they're in. Obviously, if they win, they're in. They're right there on the cusp of another playoff berth.
Yeah, how about Evangelista and the power play, that little switcheroo, you know? I mean, just in the last week, and what a huge goal for him. So basically, it's like, you know, the Blues are toast, and it's just a matter of time, you know. But yeah. I think it's kind of nice that the Preds get a chance to actually do it themselves and clinch at home Tuesday. You know, kind of makes for a nice deal for them. But I mean, it's a gutty win for them because, like you said, you can play some good hockey and not get the results, and at some point, it's like, well, gee, I mean, great, but you know. You must not be playing that well,
right,
if you keep not getting the results. So I think that's a pretty big-time win for them.
It's a big-time win for them. Last night, in terms of, like, the playoff matchups, a huge game between Dallas and Colorado. Dallas goes on the road to Colorado and wins 7-4. So those two both have 4 games left, and Dallas is up by 5 points. So Dallas essentially – wrapped up the division last night. I mean, I guess they could collapse here and lose out, and Colorado could win, and then you could switch things around. But after losing to Chicago on Saturday, which I thought could be a damaging loss for the Stars, they rally. They win 7-4 last night. So the playoff picture is starting to come into the fold here. Preds are kind of back and forth right now between the first wild card spot and the second. Yeah, the Kings won and jumped up past Vegas the other night in the Pacific. So right now the Kings are in third in the Pacific. Vegas is the second wild card. Preds are the first wild card, and Vegas has played 2 less games than the Predators have. So it's going to be kind of a seesaw back and forth as to what happens at the last part of the standings here. But a couple of big results yesterday, both from the Predators' standpoint and then with Dallas taking down Colorado. Dallas has essentially locked up the top spot in the Central Division.
Going in there, putting up a touchdown. That's the Dallas, man. They deserve wagon status right now. So basically, yeah, you know basically that they're going to be right at the top there, and they're probably going to be the 1 seed all the way around. You know, another thing that's to keep an eye on, I think Vancouver and Vegas play maybe tonight, is that right? But
that sounds right. Let me look. It is.
They play soon, I know that. But, you know, Edmonton has a game in hand, and they're 3 yeah. points behind Vancouver.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to remember. This could still end up with, like, the Preds playing the Oilers in the first round.
By the way, yes, Vegas and the Canucks tonight. So that's another big game in terms of
the biggie.
The team right behind you and a team that you could see in the playoffs coming up as well. So the picture starting to come into the fold. Predators are 1 point out of – clinching this thing here, and then we'll see how it goes. I thought, you know, Saros last night, I thought it was really good again. I mean, Jack Hughes had an absolute laser to start the game off with, which a wrist shot, Joe, was clocked at 92 miles an hour. It was a 92-mile-an-hour wrist shot from Jack Hughes last night on the Rust that was put in the perfect spot. You know, Josi with a blast that hit poor Kakinen in the midsection last night.
Yeah, it's a toughie. Yeah,
not fun to watch.
The region. Yeah.
It was immediate pain from him. He goes out. Jake Allen comes in. You know, the Predators, even yesterday, like, they had a couple of really good looks that they, for whatever reason right now, they just can't get to go. Like, they got shut out against Boston. They had 6 goals against St. Louis. Now, 2 of them were empty net goals. two more on the power play. So like 5-on-5 right now, trying to get the puck in the back of the net is a little bit of a struggle. I mean, New York, they were all over the Islanders. I mean, over 90 shot attempts. I think their expected goals was over 6 in that game, and they didn't score at all, which was really – it was quite something to watch. The fact that they couldn't get one of those to go on Saturday against the Islanders. Yesterday, I thought a lot of really good looks again that Jake Allen made good saves on. So they're fighting through it a little bit right now offensively. Big to get the win last night, but they got to start finding a way. Like I tweeted this, generating the chances is one thing, and that's great, and you certainly feel better about your game when you're generating the chances than when you're not. But this time of year, Joe, it is also about, like, you got to finish. You know, you don't have time to run into like a five-game cold streak offensively. If you do that, you're going to be out of the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I do think you're talking about a goalie having just one of those. Sometimes you're just going to have that on one particular day.
Yeah.
You know, but overall, yeah, I mean, obviously during their stretch, it wasn't just expected goals. It was goals too, that they were elite in that, actually finishing too. So they could use a touchdown game like Dallas just had in Colorado.
Yes, they could. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. We're taking your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds. They are 1 point away from clinching a playoff berth yet again. We'll take your thoughts on that. We'll also get to John Calipari coming up, apparently heading to Arkansas. We'll get Joe's thoughts on that. Take your thoughts as well. All that coming up. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Ryan O'Reilly now for the Predators. O'Reilly 2 of 2 on shootout tries. Comes in right side, cuts across to his left, hesitates, shoots, and scores! Brian O'Reilly gives the Predators the edge here in the shootout.
Ryan O'Reilly gets it done in the shootout last night. UC Saros makes all 3 saves in the shootout. Preds win 3-2 via the shootout. They are 1 point away from clinching another playoff berth. That would be their 9th playoff berth in the last 10 years, Joe. So that's a pretty good run. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Big goal by O'Reilly last night. Officer Watson in Clarksville says, "Are we sure we're good with playing with Dallas in the first round? Looks more and more daunting," was my response. Stars continue to play well. Dustin in Hopkinsville saying, "The passes are killing me. I can't count how many times they wrap around the net and never shoot on the inlet or outlet. I'm happy and excited, but in my coaching mind, I've seen some trends that I don't like going into the playoffs. Slow starts, too many passes, and Dan Hynote mentioned and Chris Mason mentioned shooting instead of looking for the perfect shot." I do think, Joe, sometimes, especially like on Saturday, when the goalie's playing out of his mind, you try to make like the perfect read to get to him. And I think at times they did that. Now, they also put up over 90 shot attempts. So
I was going to say, when you have that many shot attempts, yeah, you know. But sorry. Sorry, I just interrupted you rudely.
Okay.
But also, you know what? You bring up something where Keezer has these stats that he tells us during the break. Say your stat on the air, Keezer.
So on Saturday, and this was interesting to me just looking back after the game, the Preds had 33 blocked shots. Since blocked shots have been tracked since 2005, that was the second highest blocked shot total that the Predators have ever had in team history.
Wow. And talking about their shots being blocked.
Yes. Their shots being blocked. The most was 36 against the Flames in, like, I don't know, 2015-ish, I think, something like that.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that was a interesting stat that I found out after the game. But also, it's very noteworthy to say that Semyon Varlamov was playing out of his mind.
He was.
He looked like his prime mode for sure.
He was. He played great. So, I mean, there is something to the fact, Joe, that like when you see a goalie do that, you just tip your cap and move on and realize that if you play like that most nights, you're probably going to score about 4 or 5.
Right. And as far as the overpassing, I mean, I think there's also just the power play thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's shoot or sometimes it's move the puck quicker, which is what they talked about last week. And all of a sudden, we saw it come to life and the power play looked really good, you know, in the Thursday game. So, but yeah, it's always like, I think whenever, for whatever reason, pucks aren't going in, all those things get looked at, and some, you know, it's easy to fall into like overpassing, trying to be too perfect, things like that. Sometimes you just have to get up on the net.
Tyler says, a new question for Preds fans has come up. It's starting to look like Edmonton might overtake Vancouver, and Dallas looks like a buzzsaw. I don't know who I'd rather see in the playoffs. Edmonton playing very well right now. By the way, Ekholm just annihilated Mikko Rantanen the other night and then scored a goal after that. So they continue to look really good. Joe, I've fully made the switch. Vancouver, my preferred opponent for the Nashville Predators. Dallas is, I get the travel, and you know, it's not like I don't think they can hang in there with Dallas, because I think they can. But Vancouver is my desired opponent if I'm a Nashville Predators fan. And I don't care that it's on the Pacific side of the bracket.
Yeah, Dallas looks like the team that's quote unquote peaking at the right time. That's still, you know, in this tournament, sometimes that team still falls on their face, and the team that slimps in makes a run and all that stuff. But yeah, they just do look very scary. So yeah, Vancouver, as you've pointed out before, kind of the lack of playoff experience on that team, and then especially when you compare it to the Preds, that could be potentially a thing that could help the Preds. So yeah, that seems like the right now the smart money. Vancouver.
It does seem like the smart money. We'll see if they hold off Edmonton. Again, a huge game tonight, as you pointed out, between Vancouver and the Vegas Golden Knights, to see that's going to go a long way in determining whether or not they win the division. So we'll see what happens on that front tonight. We'll have Sean Rourke from NHL.com coming up at 7:30. We'll get into his thoughts on the Predators, his thoughts on some potential playoff matchups that we could see as well. Joe, in the meantime, while this was all going on last night, the Predators game had just gone final. I was watching St. Louis and Anaheim to see if the Predators were going to wrap up a playoff spot last night. And I start to scroll through the old Twitter and see some buzz about John Calipari and Arkansas coming together to negotiate a contract, and that Calipari could be the next head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Now, we've gone through the Kentucky situation of, obviously, they got beat by Oakland. It's been rough there in terms of their postseason results. The fan base, I think, largely has had enough of John Calipari. But it felt like he was coming back. I mean, he did his little radio show and talked for an hour about how excited he was to be back and to compete and to get back in the lab and work and all those things. And late last night, Pete Thamel finally reporting that John Calipari finalizing a 5-year deal to be the next head coach at Arkansas. That deal is expected to be completed sometime today officially. And it looks like Calipari is out of Kentucky and is going within the conference to be the head coach at Arkansas. What do you make of this that kind of seemingly, Joe, came out of nowhere last night, that John Calipari is leaving Kentucky and will now be the next head coach at Arkansas?
Absolutely wild. Oh, my goodness. I've heard that people have already got the illustrations of Calipari and, like, the Bobby Petrino neck brace thing. I mean, that's all right. I think I retweeted one of those. So check that out if you'd like to.
Oh, I would.
Yeah. Think about the – well, first of all, think about the domino effect here. A couple weeks ago, SMU fired Rob Lanier. For people who don't know who Rob Lanier is, Rob Lanier was – Rick Barnes' top assistant at Tennessee and was also with him at Texas, is fantastic coach. And I think one of the real foundational coaches with this program has become at Tennessee, and they fired him after two pretty good seasons, like out of nowhere. Like, what are you doing? Apparently the reporting has come out since that they wanted a bigger name to go into the ACC, which I forgot they're in the ACC, which is the dumbest thing ever.
It is.
So they fire him. Like, 2 days later, Rice hires him. Like, oh, we'll take him. What are you doing? SMU goes out and gets Andy Enfield from USC, which is also weird. Okay, so you're going to SMU. Okay. And then USC gets Musselman from Arkansas, which is also kind of weird, actually. Like, all of it's weird.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, that creates this opening. And, you know, the Tyson Chicken, I mean – also, for people who don't know, Arkansas has some of the richest people back in their program that, like, any college sports program.
Yes.
Like, Arkansas is filthy rich if it wants to be. And so whatever the guy's name is, Tucker Tyson or Taylor Tyson, or I don't know, you know, one of the Tysons, it's like good buddies with Calipari. Look, there's been whispers, and I don't know, maybe Kyle Tucker said this on our show, I don't know, but there's definitely been whispers over the years of Calipari having this desire to go somewhere else and stick it to them and be like, okay, well, this is what you're not appreciating. So I mean, I'm all the way here for it. I mean, talk about fascinating. Calipari at Arkansas and what he might do there, and all of a sudden being a rival of Kentucky. Man, it is going to be something else. It is going to be fun to watch. And, of course, now you've got, well, one of the true blue bloods of the sport with an opening, and there's a lot that could go on there. I will say to the Alabama fans who are excited about that first Final Four, hold tight, folks. Yeah. Hold tight.
Yeah. I mean, I think Nate Oates is probably going to get a look here. You know, maybe he's not the way that they go, but I think certainly some consideration from the Kentucky side of things. One thing I do agree with, and I saw a few different people tweeting about this last night. Like, you know, when Saban left Alabama, there was, you know, Dan Lanning or Mike Norvell, like all these different coaches basically used it to get contract extensions or raises, and you're going to see some of that with Kentucky, I think. Whether it's Nate Oates or somebody else, like you're going to see some college basketball coaches, if they don't take the job, I think trying to leverage it to get a new contract done with the place that they're currently at.
Yeah, no doubt. Another on that point, some interesting reporting around Arkansas search. Apparently, Chris Beard, Ole Miss, and Jerome Tang, Kansas State, turned him down, apparently.
Yeah.
So Calipari was their third choice. What do you think about that, Cal? how do you feel about being Arkansas's third choice?
5 years for John Calipari. He's going from Kentucky to Arkansas to be the next head coach of the Razorbacks. We'll take your reaction to that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. Go online to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter. It's the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April the 20th. Lee Company, all you need. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. John Calipari out at Kentucky. He'll be the next head coach with the Arkansas Razorbacks. By the way, Pete Thamel putting it out there that his base salary is expected to be slightly less than the $8.5 million he's making at Kentucky, but with an incentive-laden contract with the ability to pass that number. So that is apparently the contractual details that Pete Thamel has thrown out there, Joe. So still some good money coming in for Calipari. We've lost Joe. There he is.
You got me?
We got you. I think that was Keezer's fault. We're going to blame him.
I hope that doesn't have anything to do with NCAA tournament wins. I tell you what, man. Boy. Hope those incentives are like amazing recruiting rankings and things like that.
Well, if so, he should make a lot of money.
He should do really well, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. Obviously, he will recruit well. He's a good coach. I think more of him as a coach than you do. I think
there's no doubt.
But I don't know, man. It's gonna be, because the thing is, Kentucky's still Kentucky. So he may have to eat some Kentucky humble pie here. It's just interesting that he's going to a league rival, you know. I mean, hey, what was open, and that's a job that could pay him enough to make it worth his while.
I can tell you this. I have perhaps never looked more forward to anything in my entire life than I do the visual image that I hope is coming of John Calipari calling the Hogs. I have never in my life needed anything more than video evidence of him standing out there doing woo pick suey and calling the Hogs.
God, that does sound amazing. Like when Mike Leach did the cowbell thing, that was pretty great, yeah. You know? But, yeah, Calipari calling the Hogs. Wow.
I need it real badly. I think it has
the chance.
You're
going to get it.
It has the chance to surpass the Brian Kelly family thing, which is hard to do. But I think we might be able to do it with John Calipari calling the Hogs here. David in Arkansas says, waking up and seeing Arkansas hiring Calipari was shocking. Maybe a fresh start, but who knows? I'm not sure whether to be excited or scared as a Razorback fan. I got a text that says Arkansas just won the lottery, low key. So a couple of people excited about this. Big Blue Nation on the text line says all the Big Blue Nation has to keep the same energy on Cal. This is from Gunner. I stand firm. He wouldn't have made it back on the plane for me anyway. So Calipari, still the Kentucky fans apparently seem to be happy to be rid of him, Joe.
Yeah, and even the ones who aren't are going to say that, right? But I think that's true for the majority of the fan base. I mean, people want him out. And look, he was going to be basically coaching for his job this year. I mean, he was going into sort of a lame duck almost kind of year where he has to he has to at least get to the next weekend, I think the second weekend, or else he's probably going to be fired anyway in a year. So, from his perspective, I get it. Kentucky fans, I think definitely more of them are happy than not. David Ubben, a friend of the show, my coworker of The Athletic, who's from Arkansas, grew up going to Arkansas games, says, Calipari moving elsewhere would be must-see TV, but as an Arkansan who talks to Arkansans, I'm not sure this is going to hit with the fans like they think it's going to hit. I'd hold off on scheduling a parade if they finish this hire. This is before, is it official now? I guess.
Basically.
So that's an interesting take, though. You know, like, this isn't necessarily – I mean, look, when you fail and you're supposed to be doing something and then for several years you haven't, well, I mean, everybody expects Arkansas fans to just drop everything and think that this is the greatest hire in the history of Arkansas?
No, it is really interesting. Like, first off, to your point, I have no doubt that he's going to be able to recruit well. How well is he? Is he going to be able to recruit? Like, is he going to be able to create something like he did at Kentucky where he's getting that level of talent? Because, he recruited really well at Memphis. We know that he can recruit. But how much of that was also like the combination of him and Kentucky, right? I mean, the two in partnership together. Like you said, though, I mean, Arkansas, they got some money, and the NIL part of this is going to be interesting to see how they put it together. So I have no doubt that he's going to be able to recruit. I am interested to see also when he goes to Arkansas, does his philosophy of how to build a team change? And he talked about that a lot on that hour-long radio show that he did when everybody thought he was coming back to Kentucky. He talked about like the philosophy of building a team and looking internally and seeing if they need to change up the way they do things. And we've talked about this. Like, it hasn't just been one and done with him. I mean, he brought in Shibwe. They've had some veteran-laden teams, or at least more veteran-laden teams than just the freshmen and sophomores that everybody just associates with them. But I am interested to see, at Arkansas, does he take a little bit of a different approach in terms of building a team, stylistically building a team, and trying to have more veterans involved? And obviously you can do that more now with the transfer portal as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, look, when he was at Memphis and in his early days in Kentucky, yes, great recruiter. Also, you know, quote-unquote NIL. NIL was in effect in some places.
It was.
You know, okay. So then it's almost you kind of lose a little bit of an edge when it becomes pay for play everywhere to a point, but Kentucky has incredible resources. So does Arkansas. So yeah, how will he approach it? Will he approach it differently? I mean, I think it's obvious that, you look at UConn, you know, they're a mix of top-notch high school recruits and some older guys and a little bit in the portal. Most of these teams that are here, I mean, Purdue is – it's just a bunch of, like, older now – well, sophomore guards, but, like, you know, obviously their star is old.
Yep.
They got some other older guys. They got one guy out of the portal who's been a nice add for them, Lance Jones. And other than that, it's all homegrown guys – you know, those are the teams playing for titles, not necessarily a bunch of NBA players, you know. But, I mean, that's the thing. It's like if you're going to recruit a certain level of talent, you can't count on them being there for 4 years. So it really makes it an interesting situation. I'm definitely fascinated to see how it's going to turn out, you know. And of course, the Kentucky search, too, like – people are throwing Patino out there. I mean, that's just, I can't even imagine the absolute joy that would bring.
I can. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here for that for sure. But that's obviously, as it always is, just a big, big hire for the landscape of the sport.
Glenn from Greenbrier says, it was just time. Both sides needed a fresh start. After a few losses next season, it was going to get ugly. Herb in Kentucky says, interesting that you guys in Tennessee are so convinced that people in Kentucky are okay with Cal leaving. How? From Twitter? I'm depressed, and thousands of other Kentuckians who don't use Twitter may not think it's good either. This is from Herb in Kentucky on the text line.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. I think, like I said majority. I'm sure there are some Kentucky fans sad, but I would think the majority. I mean, I don't know. That's the thing. It's always tough, right? Like
if
Twitter.
Kentucky sports radio is any indication, yes, there are a lot of very happy Kentucky fans today.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, especially in the moment after the loss to Arkansas, it's especially everybody's like, get him out of here. And then you embrace the idea of him being back. That's what's interesting. The fan base now has been like, okay, let's see one more year, Cal, and maybe he'll actually make a run and, well, great, you know. So you've embraced it. You've kind of like, you've accepted it, and now all of a sudden he's gone. So maybe some more people are like, oh, no, actually I did want him back for one more year. But I don't know, man. I feel like a lot of this fan base is out on him.
So where does Kentucky go from here? I mean, we've brought up Nate Oates. I mean, we have had people throw out Rick Pitino on the text line this morning. Dustin from Hopkinsville is throwing out Billy Donovan on the text line. What are some names that are intriguing to you, Joe, in terms of places Kentucky might look from here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Nate Oates is an obvious place to look. And does Bruce Pearl get a look?
That'd be interesting.
I mean, I think – He's a little older, and I think the idea of having a Nate Oates and knowing that you could potentially have, you know, decade plus of Nate Oates probably would be more appealing. But I mean, Bruce Pearl is a good coach. Those two guys just in the SEC, you know, Chris Beard, Arkansas talked to him at some point. Chris Beard is going to take another job. I'd be surprised if that's the one. Scott Drew. He is basically Scott Baylor. You know, there's one. I mean, he's a very good coach. You know, who else could be out there? Could a guy like, I mean, Samson? Could, look, some people have thrown out Hurley. Danny Hurley is a guy who,
yeah.
I mean, you at least have to try, right? You got to try to make the call. I don't hate the idea of Billy Donovan. I just don't know. It just comes down to, you know, obviously he's a Pitino guy. He was a Kentucky assistant at Pitino, went to Florida, did great things there. Does he have interest in the college game and coming back in all this stuff, you know, after coaching the NBA for quite a while? Hasn't gone great in the NBA, but it's also a different life, and I'd say a better life than dealing with re-recruiting your team all the time.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Where should Kentucky go from here? Now that John Calipari is about to be the next head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, we'll take your thoughts on that. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tomorrow, your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, the final edition of Preds Pick to Click of the season, coming up tomorrow. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with us tomorrow morning at 8:45. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. John Calipari leaving Kentucky and going to Arkansas to be the next head coach of the Razorbacks. Taking your thoughts on that. Taking your thoughts on potential coaching candidates for Kentucky to fill the opening as well. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Weston. Weston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Part of this I want to take into consideration. I know when Saban just retired from Alabama and take this approach to it, Alabama didn't really go after that high-flying, like, high caliber guys that we thought they would, such as like a Chris Beard, some of these guys out there. So if I'm going to go that approach to Kentucky to find a guy that you can kind of mature into your success, I'm looking at maybe Indiana State's head coach or maybe even Clemson's head coach. Those two guys would kind of be on a radar because they've had long-term success at those two schools for how long they've been there. So I would see maybe if they would be interested and see if they would appreciate the next opportunity.
Yep,
I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call, Weston. Joe, that does bring up an interesting kind of philosophical approach here. Do you think Kentucky goes with the up-and-coming guy that they feel good about at maybe a lower program, or do they want to go just really spend money, go out there, bring in the star power head coach, be that a Pearl, be that an Oates, somebody else?
Well, Schertz is no longer the Indiana State head coach. He's the St. Louis head coach. And I guess that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that he couldn't take the quick jump after, you know, getting a couple of the Blazers from St. Louis, some Billikens little gear, and then right on to Kentucky. But, yeah, I hear that. And actually, we're going to talk later about Tennessee hiring Kim Caldwell.
Yep.
And that goes along with that philosophy, too. But I think, you know, it's funny, too. You mentioned Brownell from Clemson. I mean, he was supposed to be, like, potentially fired this year. I mean, and then he takes him, you know, deep in the tournament and all that. So, I mean, I think you're swinging big first. You know, you're swinging big. I think Kentucky, if you look at Kentucky's history of coaches in the last, you know, couple of decades, you know, the one guy that they kind of reached on who, granted, had done some really good things in a short period of time at Texas A&M was Billy Gillespie.
Yep.
And that turned out to be an absolute disaster. You know, Tubby, you know, was a good hire there. I mean, you can't complain about a national. He did as much as Calipari did, won a national championship, but he kind of got out ahead of the, you know, of the posse, so to speak, just like Calipari did here, you know, get out ahead of the posse a year before they come get you after you again, you know, underachieve. So, but I think Kentucky is going to swing big on the, you know, the Nate Oates front. I mean, again, I'd give a call to Danny Hurley. I would absolutely try. And Donovan's another one of those. That's a really interesting situation. I mean, it's a lot of losing that he's done with that loser franchise of Buffalo Bills, the Chicago Bulls. I don't know why I want to call them the Buffalo Bills, but they're kind of like the Buffalo Bills in a way. Does he want that? I just think right now it's so hard in both the NFL and NBA to get convince guys to come back to the college ranks the way it is right now. Until they figure out the calendar and the portal and everything, like it's the headaches have been multiplied many times over. So I'd be surprised if that got much traction, but who knows? I mean, he certainly has an experience and he has a history in Lexington.
John on the text line says, "What about Mike Vrabel to Kentucky? He's a leader of men." Very well done, John. Just get Vrabel in there. To Kentucky. Josh on the
why the hell hasn't Vrabel got one of these college head coaching jobs?
Mike,
you guys lied to us. You lied to us.
Mike, your thoughts on the box and one. You tell us about
don't
that.
Don't be dumb that hurt the team.
Oh, just beautiful. Josh in
Nashville. His dad was a basketball coach, by the way.
I'm sure he was. Josh in Nashville says, is it too far-fetched for Kentucky to try to grab either Bill Self or Tom Izzo, our co-executive producer? What do you think of that, Joe?
Well, I think, especially with Izzo, and probably a little more with South, too. I mean, Izzo's done in a short period of time. Izzo's pushing towards 70, just like Rick Barnes. And I think he's got very little time left. So that would have been, in fact, Kentucky, I know, poked around him before when they've had openings. So I think they really went after him, maybe when they hired Gillespie, actually. Self, you're leaving Kansas to go to Kentucky. Like, I don't see it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think you've got to get someone who's got a little more runway on their career. And again, like an Oates to me is I'd be very interested in that.
Now, someone who may not have the runway that I do think is intriguing, I don't think would take it, but I'm with Kentucky fans that I'd probably make the call. What about Jay Wright, who of course was with Villanova, is now retired. I think does a pretty good job on the desk, by the way, during this tournament coverage. But could you make the money sweet enough for Jay Wright to consider coming back and giving it a whirl at Kentucky since he's been retired?
Yeah, again, make the call. A great coach, without question, and a guy who, now they had some very talented teams, but a little bit of a more with less coach, a little bit more like Izzo, you know, in terms of, yeah, some NBA players, some very good players, but like not the absolute, yeah, like not the rosters that Calipari's had on some of these teams that have done nothing. I just, the reporting around him leaving the game was very much like, I can't do this portal stuff. And so I think that's probably going to stick. But sometimes a coach will leave for a little bit and then they'll have that itch and then they'll want to be back in. So definitely make that call.
Nate Oates has an $18 million buyout associated with him. Do you think that that's at all a hindrance to Kentucky making that move?
No. Good Lord, no. I mean, Kentucky right now, they just got jilted. They decided to let Cal have another year, and he said, thanks, sucker. See you later. They'll find every $1 million they can find under every rock to do whatever they need to do here. Yeah, that's
– his buyout's $18 million. Bruce Pearl's buyout is $7 million, and Scott Drew's buyout is $4.5 million. This all coming from Jeff Goodman on the Twitter.
Yeah, they'd pay him all at once if they could get Jay Wright or – Danny Hurley. No, it's they will be paying. Stackhouse. I see Stackhouse momentum on the text line.
Maybe so.
Yeah, Mark Few. That's another one people throw out there. I just don't see it. You know, I mean, look, and other people have called him before about jobs. I think he's a Spokane guy all the way. I mean, he was an assistant there back when Dan Munson was the head coach of Gonzaga, you know, when they broke through in the 90s. I just don't see him leaving right now. But whoever just mentioned Greg Campy, hell yes. Oh, make it happen, baby.
Hey.
God, I love that. I love that Greg Campy is getting like all this love. Love
it. If you can't beat him, join him. Let's go bring him in.
That's right. As long as he can bring in Jack Golke and he still has an 11th year of eligibility left before becoming an accountant at age 32.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to take your thoughts, your suggestions for Kentucky as they try to find a coach with John Calipari heading to Arkansas to become the next head coach of the Razorbacks. We'll have more on that throughout the program. Coming up next, we'll get into the women's national title game yesterday, the men's game coming up tonight, and oh, by the way, the Lady Vols have hired a new head coach as well. There's a lot going on around here. We'll get into all that and more coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.